Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. And today's Wednesday, March the 6th, 2024. Joining me in studio is Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning to you, Tim, and happy birthday.
Well.
I forgot.
But the day's not over yet.
Happy
birthday.
Are you
talking about getting me a gift?
Well,
me a gift on Sunday.
I got you a gift, right. But I had an opportunity right there to wish you happy birthday.
Right.
I passed it, and Fred
okay.
Picked it up.
Yeah. It's team effort.
That's right.
It is my birthday, 1963. For those who want to steal my identity, I'm about to give you my Social Security number.
Huh?
Well, nowadays
what?
You're paranoid about saying anything.
Yeah.
What's your name? Me.
Oh, I hesitate answering any question.
Huh?
When I go to the doctor or...
You give them the bare information?
That's right.
My name's...
I've actually got to the point where I'm like, I'm not doing this. I'm not filling this out, and then the burden's on them. No, you either you have to do it,
fill it out,
or not. And you'd be surprised about 90% of the time I'm getting there. They go, "All right, sounds good," and you're like, "Well why did you ask for it to begin with? If I didn't need it?"
Your mom and my wife, she is only in the last probably 3 years has she had an email.
That's right. Yeah.
And so, she got an email like 3 or 4 years ago. Before that, she never even had an email.
Uh-huh.
She was off the grid.
No Facebook,
mm-hmm.
No nothing.
Mm-mm.
A phone and maybe texting was her. But anyway, she would tell people they'd go everywhere we'd go. They'd say, you know, if she'd go shopping or whatever, ma'am, can I have your email? I don't have an email. They'd look at her like she had three heads.
Yeah.
What? You don't have an email.
Yeah.
She finally got one because almost got to have one to live in this world. But
mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the staff this morning here at American Family Association, American Family Radio, wish me a happy birthday in our staff devotional.
Mm-hmm.
And more than that, what was more meaningful to me, at least, was the warm blueberry donuts.
And they were fresh. Warm.
They were still warm.
Mm.
They weren't bought yesterday.
Boxes of them.
And they were put in the freezer. And they weren't the... Now, the glazed donuts are okay.
Sure.
But they're kind of too sugary for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the cake...
It's a cake...
The cake, blueberry donuts that are warm, I've moved them up to number 13 on my best things in life list.
They're good.
I moved them up because they were like 18, but after this morning...
Well, another thing, they've got fruit in there. So that's healthy for you. Or is that?
Yeah, Wesley. I think that's a stretch.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to say blueberries are an antioxidant and they're mixed in with your. Well, I need to go get four more of them then.
That's right.
That's where I was going with that.
Because I only ate one.
Yeah.
And I wanted to sit down and eat the whole box just right there and tell myself I deserved it.
Yeah.
You know, I could have those things.
Are wonderful.
They're wonderful. So you guys agree with me? Right now, we'll leave them at number 13.
That's right.
We'll leave them the best things in life, warm blueberry donut.
It's like a cake. It's almost like a cake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Texture
anyway,
to it.
Anyway, yeah, birthday today. I told I'm 61.
16? I mean, you said 61, 6 or 6?
I don't feel like 16. I think the human body peaks at 60. But I was 61, so I said, you know, I'm 61, so I've entered the decade of Social Security decision making.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Fred, I'm eligible next year, right?
62.
Okay. What did you do though?
I waited until I was 67. Now there are debates. Some people say you got to calculate. Start at 62, you start getting a check. But the longer you wait, the higher amount of money you get in Social Security. A lot of people.
But you have to take it by 67, right?
No.
You can wait?
No, you can wait until you're 70. We have one of my colleags here waited until he was turning 70.
What is the bump from 67 to 70? Do you know?
It's not that. That's where the calculation, if you go on YouTube and you put in how long should I wait to take Social Security, you will get a plethora of opinions from experts. They're all experts.
Right.
Some will say 62. Some will say around 67. Some will say, no, wait until you're 70. Yeah. But then you have others who say, no, you take it around 67, and you're going to get 3 years' worth of checks that you wouldn't normally get until you're 70. And then they throw in the idea, which is very true, you don't know when you're going to die. So if you take it at 70 and you knew you were going to pass away at 75, you're robbing yourself of a lot of financial resources. So you will start to get all kinds of advice, Tim.
But I don't think you're on your deathbed at 72 going, dadgummit, I should have waited. I'd have got more money. I mean, I should have taken it earlier.
Yeah, but that debate
that,
is there.
That debate. Yeah, well, I'm leaning towards 67. I'm 61 now.
I like that number.
Yeah. Is that what you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that number.
All right, leaning towards 67. And Wesley, Fred and I.
Trying to feel high. Well, we're kind of included in this one.
We don't want to tell you. I don't know who's going to tell you this, but you're not going to have to make any of these decisions because Social Security ain't going to be here. There. It ain't going to be here for you. You're paying for me and Fred.
That's right. So I really appreciate that,
you're
Wesley.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Just save your money, son, because you're on your own.
Y'all are going to get me started on what I think about the government being involved.
Well, we don't want to get Wesley started on federal government conspiracies, or we'll be here. We'll be getting the FBI about be out here out in front of our
not
building.
Not as much conspiracy as much as I think that they should stay out of what my retirement plan is.
Oh, you want your own money? You want to invest in yourself?
I think yes, and I think I'm 100% responsible for the money that I make.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. Here's the problem with that. We don't want to. Why? This is going to take us 5 more minutes, and this
we don't have to. We can table this.
This is my personal opinion. I always have to say this. I don't speak for anybody or the ministry.
Yeah.
I'm just saying
I got one
that,
too, though.
I'm just saying the personal opinion. I want to just say that with Social Security,
sure.
I'm in agreement with you principally that everybody should be responsible for their own financial planning in terms of retirement.
Right.
However, we have a lot of stupid people in this country. And they're not going to save squat.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're poor and they don't have the ability to save. There are some people who fall into that category, and there are some people who waste. Anyway, so I don't think it's a bad idea. This is me.
Generally speaking.
To have a safety net, a bare minimum sort of safety net for people when they get ready to retire so that they don't commit suicide. Or
I agree with you 100%. You know, okay. I think that you should be able to opt in or opt out.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. As long as you don't.
I'm not a complete.
You opt out and then you get to be 65 and you're going, I wish I'd opted in.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
But there's no opt out. I mean, you're just compulsory. And it is big government and it is socialism to an extent. But
I'm not going to get that.
I'm just saying, looking around at the people, I'm glad that there is Social Security, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All right. But that's just me again.
You're welcome. I started that.
That's not in the Bible. Okay.
But if you're taking Social Security, you ought to, you know, say I paid into it for years.
That's right.
No, it's not
years.
It's not a handout.
No.
In fact,
even though I've started to take Social Security, I'm still paying for it in my paycheck every
year. Right.
There's a deduction.
Yeah, I'm tracking with you.
Yeah, and then also you get the problem of less workers supporting more people because people are living longer. Mm-hmm. Now, that's why they have raised the age.
That's right.
You know, they keep pushing the age back because life expectancy has been going up for people because of various and sundry reasons. All right, Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to him about when to take Social Security and those kinds of things. We'll talk to Alex about some good stuff. Alex is always doing good stuff. He'll also comment on the last night was Super Tuesday, and we'll get to the presidential election in just a minute. But in North Carolina, there's a gentleman running for governor on the Republican side. He's the current lieutenant governor. His name, again, is
Mark Robinson.
Mark Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a preacher. too, right?
Yeah.
By vocation?
He is an unapologetic conservative on all the points that you can think of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, do we have his clip?
We do.
Yes.
We do. What are we about to hear, Wes? So you, this one, what we're about to listen to went viral when, a couple years ago or so?
5 years ago, there was a viral video of the gentleman we're about to listen to, and he's answering the question. He's covering the topic of the Second Amendment because it came up after a shooting. They were wanting to take away, they were trying to limit gun rights, and this is his comments to that 5 years ago.
When are you all going to start standing up for the majority? And here's who the majority is. I'm the majority. I'm a law-abiding citizen who's never shot anybody, never committed a serious crime, never committed a felony. I've never done anything like that. But it seems like every time we have one of these shootings, nobody wants to put the blame where it goes, which is at the shooter's feet. You want to put it at my feet. You want to turn around and restrict my right, constitutional right that's spelled out in black and white. You want to restrict my right to buy a firearm and protect myself from some of the very people you're talking about in here tonight. It's ridiculous. I don't think Rod Serling could come up with a better script.
That's Mark Robinson.
Just Mark clip. Robinson.
Now, there's many more clips we could play.
He's got a bunch of them.
He's like obviously very conservative, African-American pastor. He was elected lieutenant governor.
That is correct.
And we'll ask, Alex lives in North Carolina.
Correct.
I have an idea. Alex probably voted for him.
Huh? He assumed office on January 9th of 2021.
And he's running for governor.
And if he wins, he would be the first black governor of North Carolina.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we'll ask Alex about his chances there. Mm-hmm. North Carolina's pink.
Yeah.
It's not solid red, and it's not blue. It's not really purple. It sort of leans red, I guess you could say, in many respects. But a lot of the reason for that is a lot of New England retirees have moved down there. New York and New England retirees have moved down there, and it's changed the demographics of the state of North Carolina.
And UNC, I mean, you've got the university influence there.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to today's issues on American Family Radio. Remember that name, Mark Robinson.
And pray for.
Yes, absolutely. He's a brother.
Yep.
We need more like him running for office.
All right, so what's the big announcement this morning from from South Carolina?
Nikki won every state. I'm sorry. No, she didn't. She lost every state.
Except
Maine. No, not Maine. Vermont.
Yeah, as I was watching the results come in last night, Trump was winning the Republican primaries. We're talking 80% of the vote, 20% going to Haley. I got to thinking, Nikki Haley, she's probably somewhere tonight. I think it was Charleston last night in South Carolina, thinking and looking at those results. What's she going to do? Well, apparently around midnight last night, the Wall Street Journal broke the story that Nikki Haley had decided to suspend her campaign. And just about an hour and 20 minutes ago, Nikki Haley went before her supporters there in Charleston, South Carolina, to make the announcement official. Here's a little bit of what she had to say. Cut number 4.
The time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing. I end my campaign with the same words I began it, from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go.
That's Nikki Haley this morning in Charleston, South Carolina, announcing she was suspending her campaign. That is presidential campaign. As with all politicians, that is code for I'm dropping out. Yeah. Well, it's not really code. She told you she's dropping out, but they call it suspending the campaign. They do that for some kind of
technical reason.
Well, I think it's so they can still raise money to pay off debts in their campaign. I think that's why they quote suspend their campaign instead of just stop it. But for all practical purposes, she's pulling out of the.
I thought it was interesting her phraseology. She said she wished Donald Trump well. That is not an endorsement.
No, it's close, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's I wish him well. It's not an endorsement.
She's saying it's his time. It's his time to unify the party. Basically, it's what.
And she gave him some advice. Now he has to win the hearts and minds of people who have been voting for her. That's her challenge to Donald Trump this morning.
Yeah. What do you think, Wesley?
I'm not overcritical about what she said. Considering where she's coming from and considering where we're going, I think that was fine. Right. But obviously she didn't go out there and pull Vivek and say he's the best
Ramaswamy.
Thing.
Ramaswamy. I'll just say that because Ed's not here.
Yeah, Ramaswamy.
Vivek Ramaswamy. Yeah.
She's obviously not in that camp as embracing Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, she was the last woman standing between Donald Trump and the Republican nomination. Mm-hmm. And, he won handily all over the country last night, Super Tuesday. So she had no, quote, path to go forward in terms of any chance at all to win. When you have no chance at all to win, people stop giving money and they stop working for you. So your campaign dies whether you want it to or not. So it's going to be, when is the Republican convention?
It's in July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that you're right, Fred. It wasn't I endorse Donald Trump, but she was gracious, I thought, in her comments towards Donald Trump. You know, politics is rough and tumble, and it sometimes gets ugly, and it's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. That's human nature. And when you get to a situation where you have people involved in primaries, you're taking shots at each other, but ultimately, Republicans and Democrats, they ultimately almost always come together in the end to oppose what they consider to be the worst, candidate, which would be either the Republican or the Democrat, depending on which.
Yep.
Now, the challenge will be, there's challenges for Biden and there's challenges for Trump, both. The challenge for Biden is on his left, if you can believe you can get to the left of the Biden administration, but his support of Israel, albeit it's been slipping, his support of Israel, is angered a lot of the Arabs and the Muslims in Minnesota. That's a big swing state. And in Michigan, that's a big swing state. They lean blue, but they're still swing states. They're very close in statewide elections. So he made them mad because he supports Israel. He's been supporting Israel. I'm talking about Biden.
Yep.
And
I don't know. Would you say he's supporting Israel as much as he's against Hamas? Or
no? Well,
you understand what I'm saying.
He supported Israel. Biden did at the outset.
That's right.
Okay, after October 6th. But I'm just saying he's been waffling.
That's right.
Calling for ceasefires and all this stuff. He's been waffling his support of Israel the last, what would you say,
Six weeks, yeah, you're right.
But just the fact that he supports Israel at all
angers
the Muslim population in Michigan and Minnesota. And the ones in Minnesota, as we talked to Jan Markell about, there's the Somalis up there that Obama brought into our country.
But that group of people, you're not, to your point, you're not going to win them over unless you're in support of Hamas.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Pretty much. But again, that's a challenge because the question will be, will they come back and vote for Biden and the Democrats as they typically would in November? That's a long time from now. Of course, a lot can happen in Israel and that war between now and then. So
there's a lot of time for both President Biden and former President Donald Trump to unify
their parties and solidify their votes. So that's the challenge over there for the Democrats and Biden. Also, with the independent voters in this country, just watching the poor fella every day is a reminder that he is not up to the job mentally and physically.
Now, I thought it was an interesting contrast. Last night there was a big party down in Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
President Trump comes out, if we have time, maybe play a clip or two from his speech. But he's right into election mode. He's talking about the border crisis, all that sort of thing. All the Democrats did was put out a statement, a written statement from Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joe Biden had a good night last night. I mean, he cleaned up for the Democrats on the Democrat primaries. But they put out a statement. I think it was a two-sentence statement.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Last night, they could have capitalized on that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They were afraid to put that man out at 10:30, 11 o'clock last night.
And remember, this is the same guy whose team said, no, you're not going to the Super Bowl and doing an interview.
Oh, you mean doing an interview with CBS? That would have been taped or live prior to the Super
Bowl.
Yeah. It's actually smart. I don't think it's smart on the part of the Democrat, of the people who control Biden's public appearances, to not put him out here very much at all, because, I mean, he ran from the basement in 2020, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, for Trump, he also has challenges because there is that percentage, albeit small, of Republican voters who are going to the primaries, 20 to 30% roughly across the board. They're not voting for Donald Trump. They're voting for Nikki Haley, namely, or somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, DeSantis still gets a few votes here or there. Anyway, so Trump will need to make sure that those people come to vote for him in November. So I think they will.
Mm-hmm.
But still, he needs to reach out to them and bring them into the fold as much as possible.
Yeah.
So that's his challenge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those people are, quote, never going to vote for Trump? They're going to vote for somebody. Maybe they're going to vote for RFK. That's another wild card here.
Yeah, his Donald Trump's vice president pick is going to be
big, really important. Who's that going to be, Fred?
Well, it was really interesting. We got to go to a break here, but there's
one. Hey, that's good. No. Make people come back to hear that.
Okay. There was an interview with a possible candidate last night.
Okay, that's a good way to get people to come back.
Tease them.
Okay.
Yep.
We put the radio tease out there. So when we get back, Fred Jackson's going to tell us who's on the radar for vice president pick for Donald Trump. And all right, and so Wesley, Fred, and I will be back. Now, Dr. Alec McFarland will be with us in just a few minutes as well, so you don't want to miss that. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you, as always, for listening to our radio network and our program here. We'll be back in about 2 or 3 minutes.
Did you know that every day, Preborn's network of clinics experiences 200 miracles? How? Preborn gives women with unplanned pregnancies a window into their womb through free ultrasounds, introducing them to the beautiful life growing inside. Once she meets her child inside her womb and hears their heartbeat, the chance of her baby's life doubles. Because of the generosity of you and me, who donate just $28 to sponsor an ultrasound, Preborn can do this. the cost of a dinner to save a life, the most worthwhile investment you can make. All gifts are tax deductible and go entirely to saving babies. Someday you may meet a baby that you rescued and you can give them a hug. Or maybe they'll give you a hug. Maybe they'll even save your life as they grow and pursue meaningful careers. One thing is for sure, you will never regret saving a child's life because life is a miracle. Please donate your best gift today. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email.
Positive, encouraging.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
We want, if you want to send us an email, you really need to think about that because we want positive and encouraging emails. That's, we call them K-Love emails. And so you can do that at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. So before you fire off an angry email, just ask yourself, is it really worth it?
48. In baseball, travel ball, coaching world, it's called a 48-hour rule. You have to wait 2 days.
Before you unleash on somebody?
Before you unleash.
Because you might dial it back or consider it's not worth it?
Exactly.
Before you go off.
48 hours.
Okay. But now when you're coaching a baseball game and an umpire messes up, you can't wait 48 hours, can you?
No. I that's just specifically a rule specifically for the parents to the coaches. 48 hours.
Oh, because they're emotional?
That's right.
But does it work both ways, parents and and coaches?
And coaches. Coaches have to wait 48 hours.
So if you're really upset with a parent, for example, you say to them, hey, parent.
Come back in 2 days.
In 2 days, you wait. Because, check your inbox in 48 hours.
That's it.
Okay? that's biblical wisdom to sleep on something, right?
That's right.
So to speak. That's the way we phrase things, right, Fred?
Yep.
That's the point.
Cool down
before you unleash on people. All right. Well, joining us right now is our good friend, Dr. Alex McFarland. Joining us, I guess Alex is in his home state of North Carolina today. Good morning, Alex.
Greetings from North Carolina.
How you doing, brother?
I'm blessed. How about you guys?
What are you and Brother Bert going to cover this afternoon on Exploring the Word here?
Well, we are in the book of Judges, the Old Testament book of Judges, and yesterday we kind of wrapped up the life of Samson, a very storied career he had. Today, when we get through with today's issues, Bert and I, along with Brent Austin, we're going to record several shows for backup shows. Sometimes when Bert and I are traveling, we have to do a pre-record. So that's what we're going to work on this afternoon.
I got you. Okay, Alex, you can feel free to join the conversation. We're going to get back to what we were talking about before the break for just a moment. Fred, you were saying about the...
Now that, in case folks are just joining us, Nikki Haley is out of the race.
Right.
Made the formal announcement this morning. So the attention will now turn to who will be Donald Trump's running mate. And some names have been mentioned. But this morning... Fox and Friends did an interview with Tulsi Gabbard. Now, she was a Democrat, represented Hawaii, but since has become very independent of the Democratic Party. In fact, many times she talks like a conservative. So one of the Fox and Friends hosts, Ainsley Earnhardt, asked Tulsi Gabbard whether she would be interested in being Donald Trump's vice presidential pick. Here's what she had to say, cut number six.
Many in the party would like to see you on the ticket to be his vice president. What's your response to that?
I'd be honored to serve our country in that way and be in a position to help President Trump actually solve these very, very serious problems that we're experiencing both here at home as it relates to border security, as it relates to our economy, as it relates to public safety, as well as the serious national security and foreign policy challenges that we face.
So there you have it. She didn't say, nah, I'm not interested. She said, you know, I'd be glad to serve in that position. Her name has been mentioned before. Now, she is conservative on those issues that she mentioned, but some people have pointed out not so much conservative on the social issues, which are important to Christians.
And she's pretty weak. I don't care for her position on the Second Amendment either. She's pretty weak there. But coming from the Democrat side of where she started, she's come a long ways through the reality of Democrat policies.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to take anything away from how far she's come and how conservative she is from where she started. But
Alex, what do you think about what kind of person do you think will be the VP for Trump's on the Trump ticket?
I could be wrong, and I've really, really thought about this, but if I had to guess, and this is just speculation by an uninformed, you know, bystander, I think it's going to be Ben Carson.
Okay.
I've said that too. I think that's his best option in order to win. Sorry, in order to win the general election, I think Ben Carson would give him the best.
Ben Carson's dynamic personality will overshadow Donald Trump.
Not going to happen.
So I don't, huh?
Yeah, you're kidding.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I love Ben Carson. I've been around
him. But he's the Mike Pence.
He is. That's why I said
that. He's the antidote to Trump's boisterous.
Yeah, 100%. That's why I say. I agree, Alex.
Listen, you know, we've had him speak for us in Truth for New Generation conferences. We've prayed with him. He carries a peace about him. He really does. I have an immeasurable respect for Brother Ben Carson. And I will tell you, he's not the world's most charismatic speaker. In fact, you know, when we've had him speak, he's really almost too laid back sometimes. But he carries a peace and a composure about him that I think is impressive.
Oh yeah, I was teasing. I guess dynamic is a word people would say. You know, sometimes who defines what dynamic is? Dr. Ben Carson is a highly intelligent man. He is a man of Christian conviction.
Amen.
He's a solid conservative on all the issues that I'm aware of. He does have a mild-mannered, with nothing wrong with that, a mild-mannered presence. And as you say, he's brings peace. He's a very peaceful man. So I think it would be from a person that I think all of us could trust to be in the vice president's chair, that we could support because we understand he's one of us. I think Dr. Ben Carson would be an outstanding choice. I don't know how much he brings, or does it even matter? Probably doesn't even matter, quite frankly. How many votes he would help bring in with former President Trump on a ticket.
I think he would be an excellent Secretary of Health.
What was he? But he was something like that for Trump earlier. What was he?
Wasn't he HUD?
Oh yeah, Housing and Urban Development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so he's already worked with Trump for those 4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a trusted colleague.
Right.
You know, and definitely a born again believer.
Do you think he would take that if offered? I mean, does anybody know?
VP?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think he would.
Okay.
But,
any reason he wouldn't?
Okay, so you ain't going. We're just speculating here, people. Dr. Ben Carson's a real possibility. I've heard that before from other people, and Tulsi Gabbard was on Fox News saying she would take that if she were offered that position. Yeah.
I think he's going to lead towards a female this time.
Yeah. I think with Trump, he does need some shoring up with
absolutely
with women, because women voters, because that's where he's really lagging behind when he go against Biden. So it could be.
Yep.
Could be a woman. Who that would be, some people suggested maybe South Dakota Governor Nome, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, Elise Stefanik.
That's a possibility.
Elise Stefanik.
From New York, the congresswoman.
Possibility.
From New York.
Yep.
But it won't be Nikki Haley, you don't think?
Don't think so.
Stranger things have happened.
I know. It's weird. Heard one of the commentators last night, going back to 2000, I guess it was, and the bitterness between George W. Bush and John McCain.
Yeah.
He was saying it was horrible, and it took a year and a half to mend their ways.
Mm-hmm.
But so politics is so strange. You can be spitting and hollering at each other for a year, and then all of a sudden, we're buddies. You know, Trump and Ted Cruz, Trump and, you know, DeSantis. Yeah. I mean, hard to understand this sometimes.
Well, I think what happens is if you're mature enough to handle that situation, and I think people who've been in politics a long time you have to be able to compartmentalize. Okay. By that I mean you have to be willing to look at what's the greater good.
Amen.
Okay. What's the greater good? What's the ultimate objective? And if in politics in our country right now, with the way the Democrats are, namely by the Biden administration, what they're doing is destroying our country. It really is.
Yeah.
It's destroying our country, especially this. We've talked about it ad nauseum. Letting people into our country illegally by the millions, and they don't care. That's going to destroy our country.
Yep. Tim, let me say this. It's like 2 weeks ago, we heard Donald Trump in Nashville at NRB, and there was a lot that was said, but I just want to make a plea to my Christian friends out there, and certainly pastors, and I've pastored two churches and spoken in 2,000 churches, literally, I have, and I want to beg the Christians of America to please don't let your tolerance level for impoliteness cost us this election. And by that, what I'm saying is, see, the left, they know how to unify together for their cause. And we conservative Christians, you know, we're the three C's, conservative, Christian, constitutionalist. And very often, I've had endless numbers of pastors say to me, they'll say, "Brother Alex, I just don't know how you can support Donald Trump. He's just abrasive." And look, we got a nation to save here, you know? I happen to know from my friend Robert Jeffers and my former boss James Dobson, both men have told me, they said, "Look, you know, make of it what you will, but we heard Donald Trump pray the sinner's prayer." Now, I'm not saying only God knows another man's heart, but look, if it's Biden versus Trump, this is not a hard decision to make, folks.
Well, there's too much at stake. There's too much at stake from the Supreme Court, the federal judiciary. You got to. And I think, as I say, I think most thinking people in the end of the day realize when it comes to a binary choice, there's two ways to view it. You can promote, you need to promote what's good, but you also have to vote sometimes to stop what's evil. All right.
Exactly.
And so that definitely is going to be as we head to November. Go ahead.
And I would just add to what Alex was saying. For those who say, "Well, I'm not going to vote for either one," that is a vote for Joe Biden.
Oh, absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
Because Les not going to do that.
Yeah.
And let me just say, and put on my pastor hat here, everybody, all of life is stewardship. And to be entrusted with a vote, that's a stewardship issue. And just like we don't throw money away and we are not to be wasteful, a vote, a chance to, on a one voice, one vote, minuscule scale perhaps, but we can influence the election, we cannot opt out and not vote. And in Nashville with NRB, we were down there, Bert Harper and I, and AFA, we were there at NRB, and I had the privilege. I spent over an hour with George Barna. And Barna said there are probably more, but bare minimum, 100 million American adults that are born-again Christians. Well, that being the case, and Barna and I talked about this, if Christian adults would get out and vote, and vote righteously. And folks, it's not hard to figure out what that looks like in this year. Hey, this thing's a done deal.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, Tim, so much is at stake. And so folks, please pray and please get out there and vote and influence your friends to do the same.
Yeah, and we have, speaking of voting, in your state of North Carolina,
yes,
Alex, we have a gubernatorial race coming up in November, and the Republicans have chosen their candidate. You know all this.
Yes.
We're about to hear a clip from him in just a moment, but who? Tell me who Mark Robinson is.
Well, Mark Robinson is kind of a local hero. You all know I live near Greensboro, and Mark Robinson, about 5 years ago in Greensboro at a city council meeting, he got up and gave a speech that is kind of famously known, and I would encourage people to watch it on YouTube, the I Am the Majority speech. And he was talking about how, you know, the left wants to disarm citizens. But
well, we played that before you came on. We played that the last half hour.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we played that clip, about 2 minutes of it, yeah.
But, you know, all around Greensboro, and that, I mean, that's home turf for my family, Mark Robinson is known as just an exemplary Christian man, very vocal, absolutely fearless, a man of conviction and courage. He's running against a gentleman named Josh Stein, who's the Democrat. But, you know, as my family's been in North Carolina 200 years, and I'm hoping Mark Robinson is our next governor.
All right, we're about to hear from him. We're about to play a clip right now from Mark Robinson. Is this recent?
He was at a church, and he's talking about the LGBTQ activist movement.
But anything you want to add to that, Wes?
Nope.
Okay, go.
Ain't nothing but men and women. You can go to the doctor and get cut up. You can go down to the dress shop and get made up. You can go down there and get drugged up. But at the end of the day, you were just a drugged up, dressed up, made up, cut up man or woman. You ain't changed what God put in you, that DNA. You can't transcend God's creation. I don't care how hard you try. The transgender movement in this country, if there's a movement in this country that is demonic and that is full of the spirit of Antichrist, it is the transgender movement.
You know,
wow.
ambiguity like that, it really bothers me. In politics, and unless Brother Robinson can come out and be clear about what he thinks and what he believes, then I'm just going to have to look somewhere else.
You know, I got to tell you, it makes you want to be in North Carolina just so you could vote for him.
I told you in our show prep, every clip I've heard of him or any speech that I've listened to him.
But does he have a chance to win, clear, Alex? Honestly, because you know what the left's going to do with a sermon. That was a sermon right there, which was I'm going, yes, Claudie, amen, brother.
Claudie, yeah.
But I'm talking about, you know how the left.
Well,
he's
been voted in as lieutenant governor of the state.
Yeah,
already.
He's already won a statewide election.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
21. Okay.
Yeah, he is the 35th lieutenant governor. And let me say this. The Republicans are well aware of the hit campaign they're going to launch on Mark Robinson, and the Robinson campaign is well aware of how to handle it. But they're going to call him every bad name in the book. But
are they going to say he's trying to mix? He's trying to mix church and state right there, and he's. I mean, you know what? You know what? You know how they're going to do this.
Oh yeah.
So, but he's already gone through that, been prepared for that, and if he's already won a statewide election.
Yeah, I mean, he is in Raleigh as our lieutenant governor.
Then he can. Then I would say. Answer my own question. He can win.
Yeah.
If he's already won a statewide election, there, you know, it may be probably be close. Like, generally, all elections are in North Carolina now. Statewide elections, they're pretty close. Go ahead.
Hey, and let me tell you. You know, my mom was very involved. She was at one time before my parents got married years and years ago. Mom was president of North Carolina Young Republicans, and there have been several. Let me just say, voter fraud exists in North Carolina. So that's something that Republicans always have to be mindful of. I mean, I'm just saying it. North Carolina Democrats have a rich history of voter fraud. They just do.
Yeah.
And so, but Mark Robinson is one that a lot of North Carolinians, myself included, are very thankful that he's become a public servant.
Right, can you tell us how we can get in touch with him to get him on the radio? We'd like to interview him.
Yeah.
Or we'd like to let him preach, either one.
Yeah, exactly. I'll get right on that. Yes.
Yeah, we'd like to have him on because I'd love to talk. I know people who know, you know, the brother, but I'd like to talk to him. Lieutenant. Yeah. Well, we have had him on, but it's been about 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay.
Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson of North Carolina. Boy, and you talk about making the lefties upset. You got a black man who's a pastor, who is a lieutenant governor of North Carolina, and he might be the next governor. And they're going to call him, what is it they call him, Uncle Tom?
And he's a constitutional conservative.
They're going to call him Uncle. Yeah, they're going to call him Uncle Tom. They're going to do the Clarence Thomas.
Yep.
On him is what they're going to do. Well, they've already done it.
Yeah.
But they're going to try to do it some more. I don't think
isn't that sad how the liberals are so fickle? I mean, you look at like a Clarence Thomas or a Dr. Ben Carson or a Mark Robinson, the quintessential American success story, and an ethnic minority risen to the stratosphere by hard work and conviction.
Well, do you remember what Biden said when he was on that radio show with
I know.
He said, "If you don't vote for me, then you ain't black." Yeah, this when it was him and Trump in 2020. Yeah, you ain't black if you don't vote for Democrats. What Biden said.
What he said. He didn't.
How insulting is that?
Hey, I got to say this. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., his 1963 Pulitzer Prize-winning book, "Why We Can't Wait," which is a great Christian, overtly Christian book, but Dr. King said this. And I've said it before on today's issues, but it's worth repeating. Dr. King said, and this is a quote, he said, he was basically saying, vote conviction and policy, not party. And he said it would be disastrous. That was his word. And the word he used, the Negro vote, that was his terminology. He said it would be disastrous if the Negro vote was ever in the hip pocket of one political party. Now that was in 1960.
Really?
Yeah, that's in that book. And I thought, you know, that's precisely, well, almost completely what has happened.
Yeah.
Now, and you know, there are many though, and hey, I'm a registered Republican, but I'm all about the policies and positions. What shapes my vote and my wife Angie is our biblical and moral convictions. But a lot of African-American voters, I truly think, and by the way, this is a whole other subject, I think the stranglehold the Democrat Party has had on the Jewish vote is loosening too, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, Hispanics, they don't vote lockstep Democrat anymore. I don't know that they ever did, but they're 60-40. A majority of Hispanic folks do vote Democrat, but it's not that big a gap anymore.
Nope.
And anyway, one other, while we got a minute or two left here, Alex, you've got your summer youth camps coming up, all over the country. How many are you doing and what are they about?
I'm doing six camps, and then I'm helping out with two others. But it's Biblical Worldview Camp. The website is equipretreat.org. Oh, my goodness, it's great. Middle school and high school will have over 1,200 kids. And number one, we talk about Jesus and how to be saved. But then we talk about biblical worldview, and the kids love it. I mean, they really do. And let me encourage you, we're almost full, but the website, equipretreat.org, or you can go to just my website, alexmcfarland.com. But, Tim, here's our goal. We do all the fun camp stuff, play the guitar, roast marshmallows, but we're trying to woke-proof America's kids.
Amen. So where can you find out where these are going to be?
Just go to my website, alexmcfarland.com, and you'll find the tab that goes to the camp.
And you're having six of them?
Yeah.
What's the closest one to Tupelo?
Probably Georgia. Would be the closest one.
But aren't you in Tennessee?
We are in Tennessee. We're in Montana, New Jersey,
But where in
Indiana.
Tennessee? Do you know?
To be honest, I don't even know.
All right,
we'll
check it out.
Tennessee.
The reason I'm asking, I would like for our team here at Today's Issues to go on site at one of your camps and talk to some of these kids.
Mm. Let's do it.
I would like to do that, but I don't want to drive, you know.
North.
Montana.
Corner.
I don't want to drive to Montana. I'd love to go to Montana and will one
and
day.
And Tennessee's long. Yeah. So if you go all the way to the north.
I know. That's why I was asking you, is it west or middle Tennessee? Or
I'll have all the info within a day.
Or is it in
that.
Tennessee that's part of North Carolina? You know that? All right. Thank you, Alex. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.